Alrighty, folks. What it is, what it isn't, baby. 93.1, joined as always by the captain. Folks, this is episode number 29 of Live and Five. Names that come to mind at UND Azzo, our good friend and GM of the Waterloo Blackhawks, Brent Chizik, a guy that might have worn that number slightly better, still playing in the league. That is no disrespect. Brock Nelson, still getting it done over in the island over there, playing under Lou Lamoriello. Folks, if you play for Lou Lamoriello, you got to shave your face and your bush. He checks both. But as always, over here, brought to you by Butter Golf and Mini Movers. Mini Movers is the official moving company of Live and Five. If you need something packed, hey, give the captain a call. Get a free quote today. Head over to minimovers.com. As always, people are always moving this time of year. Leases are coming up. Kids are moving out of their college dorm rooms. Maybe their apartments. Maybe they're moving back with Ma and Pa. Hey, maybe you just graduated and you're heading to the new city. Maybe you're heading to Chicago. I don't know what the fuck you're doing, but if you need your shit packed, again, give the boys over at Mini Movers a call. Get a free quote today. And always brought to you by Butter Golf, the official lifestyle and apparel brand over here. Yours truly wearing the Forks hat right now, Azzo. These things are selling out. They are going quick. The Sioux Shop over at the Ralph Engelstad Arena is sold out of those. I just put in a reorder for them as well as myself. I have a few sitting at HQ left, but like I said yesterday, we are recording on Tuesday. You need to get them quick, especially going into playoff time. These things are humming off the shelves. So, Azzo, that was long-winded. What's up, brother? How you doing? You are live from the greater Minneapolis area. You're on the grapes tonight, fella. The old Don Cherries, having a couple splashes, a little vino there. What are you sipping on over there, brother? Anything worth noting, or just, you know, your stock run-of-the-mill,
yeah,
$13 to $17 bottle, keep the change?
Very, very stock, Jordo. I've got, it's called Pessimist. Okay. It's a red blend. I didn't even buy it. My girlfriend Gabby did. She probably doesn't even know I'm drinking it right now, but thank you, Gabby, for supporting the guys at Live and Five here, keeping us well oiled as we go through the weekend recap. But yeah, no, I'm doing well, Jordo. Obviously, I just told you, you know, I had a couple good days at work. A lot of things happening, you know, when you're in the moving industry, this time of year it gets really busy, and you know, you kind of, it's like training camp all over again for hockey, Jordo. It's like, you know, once you hop into training camp, like you gotta shake the rust off a little bit, because the winter time's a little slow for us. So it's kind of our off season, but yeah, it's been kicking back up. Been busy and got a lot of stuff done today. So I figured, why not have some grapes while I talk to my good friend Jordan Schmaltz, and do the Live and Five. So that's why I'm having the grapes right now. But Jordo, I know you had a great weekend. I had a pretty good weekend as well. I went back up to Grand Forks. I caught the Friday game at the Ralph there. Obviously, yep, a big 5-1 win. Nothing against the Miami boys, but Miami, figure your shit out. Just a brew. I mean, it looked like you probably didn't watch, Jordo, but this game, it ended up 5-1. Obviously, UND won, but it looked like a beer league game out there. And you know, I know Miami's already got their tickets booked to Cancun or Cabo or wherever for spring break. I would too if I was on that team. But it was not great hockey. I mean, it was great to see a guy like Reese Gaber tucking in his last weekend in the Ralph ever. You know, that guy's an absolute UND Fighting Sioux legend. When you're going to go back and talk about some of the best players to ever come through and play at North Dakota on the hockey team, it's going to be tough to leave Reese Gaber's name out of that list. But it was great. You know, I got to watch the game with John and Colton Sanderson. Obviously we set a cap on the night at, you know, I think midnight or 11:30, you know, after the game.
Yeah, the old hard cap.
Absolutely blew through that cap, you know. And I'm staying at my parents' house whenever I go back to Grand Forks. So whenever I walk in the door, and they live close to downtown, so I'm able to walk home. Whenever I walk in the door late at night, you know, I wake up the next morning, they're like, what time you get home at? I'm like, fucking 1 o'clock. I don't know. I'm like, no, you weren't. I was still up. I was like, what are you fucking waiting for me?
Yeah, I know.
yeah, I don't know what time. I don't know what time I got home. Why are you asking me? What does it matter? I'm awake. I'm fine. Yeah. So, no, I had a great weekend there. Obviously, St. Paddy's Day. I did want to kind of get into that. I won't get into it now, but what a holiday. You know, it's just, it's another day Americans just all decide, like, hey, you know what? Not a lot of us are Irish or anything. We didn't know Patrick. We didn't know St. Patrick.
No.
But God damn it, we're going to floor it today. And we're going to drink some green beers just because it's a great cause. And it's a great cause in North Dakota because everyone's already wearing green. So it's like you're already celebrating the St. Paddy's Day. So yeah, that was my weekend. I mean, Jordan, what did you get up to?
We get to me though, Oz, let's get into St. Paddy's Day now that we're on it. In terms of just every year, and especially if it falls on a Sunday like it did this year, people literally will use that as a excuse to go 3-3. They'll go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and as you know, like you mentioned, the good folks up in North Dakota, you know, sporting this Kelly green, like the color of this Forks hat right now, they're obviously going to be hammering the green beers. And most of the time, Ozzy, this St. Paddy's Day, for whatever reason, usually falls in and around the NCHC tournament. And back in the day, it was the WCHA Red Baron Final Five. And it would just be a full-on piss fest. I mean, we were there last year in terms of St. Paul, boots on the ground for the NCHC tournament. Mm-hmm. St. Paddy's Day was on that Friday, I believe. But so why is it that St. Paddy's Day gets so much more recognition than a day like Cinco de Mayo? Because I, to be honest, Ozzy, especially being down here in Arizona, closer to the border, I think I'd rather drink tequila and hammer Tecate and hammer Coronas by my own beach versus St. Paddy's Day. But I feel like, you know, where you are at geographically, especially in the Midwest where we're from, St. Paddy's Day is such a bigger holiday than Cinco de Mayo. I mean, who doesn't like Coronas and tacos and tequila until failure? I mean, sign me the fuck up. Do I like a Busch Light that has a little dye in it that you're going to use on a cake later? Yeah, it's still pretty good, but I think I'd rather go to a taco in a bag and a tequila shot to get me buzzing. But I just want to throw it to you in terms of, is it, do you think, because the people of the Midwest are more, you know, it's more relatable, just the heritage, the ethnic background versus being kind of closer to south of the border, you know, Arizona, right? Because, I mean, Chicago, St. Paddy's Day is the best day of the year, Ozzy. They dyed the fucking river. People get up at 9 a.m. I mean, I was sitting there with my sister on Sunday and she was leaving. She left Jackson Hole on Saturday. And people even on Saturday were drinking at 8 in the morning. I mean, it was kegs and eggs right on your chin.
Oh, yeah. And I've been to Chicago for St. Paddy's Day. I mean, it was one of the craziest days I've ever experienced in my life. It's insane. And that's why I wanted to bring up, like, is that just a feeling I have or just where I'm at in the country where I think, cause like in terms of where I am and the people I know, St. Paddy's Day is way fucking bigger than Cinco de Mayo. Right. I mean, like for me, like, yeah, people celebrate Cinco de Mayo. It's another reason to drink or whatever, but St. Paddy's Day, people are going all out. And I don't know if that's just a Midwestern thing. I don't know. It's because it's, you know, people like Patrick. I don't know if it's, you know, it's a first name and they're like, oh, let's celebrate Patrick or St. Patrick. I don't know who he is. He's obviously some Irishman that people love.
Right. Seems like a good dude.
Yeah. He seems like a good dude. I don't know him. I'll drink to him. Why not? Yeah. And then you got Cinco de Mayo. There's no name attached. Is that a reason? Is Cinco de Mayo bigger down south or is this a, St. Paddy's Day is like a nationwide thing though, right?
Yeah, Ozzy, I just want to step in here. I want to Derek step on in here right now because I have lived in San Antonio. I obviously got sent down into the jungle a couple of years, and I had spent a couple of Cinco de Miles down there just even after the season. It was massive. Again, that is San Antonio closer to the border, right? So that is massive there. And even being in Arizona now, spending time in Tucson as well as Scottsdale, man, it is big, but it doesn't compare to me to what St. Patrick's Day is in the Midwest and especially in the Northeast. I just think it hits different. I mean, like you said, you've been in Chicago as well as myself. I've been there for St. Paddy's Day. And when they dye that river, man, and you're down there in the West Loop or you're in River North.
There's something electric about it.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just a full-on degenerate fest. It's crazy.
It's nuts. And I don't, you know, now – That makes, I mean, you've seen both sides. Now, obviously, St. Paddy's Day absolutely blows Cinco de Mayo out of the water in terms of Midwest, where I've been during both of these events. I've been in some different cities, but it just seems like St. Paddy's Day, people tend to floor it a little more. Is that because Irishmen kind of floor it more than your average Mexican? I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something to that, and it's kind of beers, green beers. Maybe there's something to that. But yeah, I mean, I also wanted to get into, you know, why don't we have more of these parties, you know, these days? And like you said, it happens on a Sunday this week, and you've got 35-year-olds, 30-year-olds like, hey, I'm drinking Sunday. I might take Monday off. It's like, why are you drinking Sunday?
Right.
Well, it's St. Paddy's Day. I have to. Do you have to? What the? Hey, everyone celebrated Saturday. You don't have to drink on a Sunday, but you're going to because it's a great reason.
Right. You don't have to drink any day of the week, and especially when you start your boozing on Wednesday. You go to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you're like, I'm going to take Monday off. Well, fella, you just took the last 5 days off, and you've been on the piss. But, Ozzy, back to your point here, why can't we have a day designated to Martin Luther Furta? You know, where we all just get
fucking fat fruit. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Martin Luther King, I mean, I have a goddamn dream to get fucking hit fucked up right now. You know what I mean? I want to get absolutely pinned. So why can't I do it for a guy that had an absolute sick duster in terms of a muzzy? And he seemed like a pretty good dude. So why can't we get, you know, just cut for him? Then there's a couple other days you could sprinkle in there too. I mean, 4th of July is obviously a big day, but like St. Paddy's Day to me just seems like such a random holiday to get absolutely
It's so random. Pinned. Yeah, you know, it's like we're celebrating Irish people. Like, did anyone? I mean, nothing against the Irish.
No,
or the people.
I got a little Irish in me. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, and it's like, do people actually care about the Irish people? I don't think they do. I think people care about Mexicans more, honestly. Yeah. I don't know if it's because maybe Ireland went through some hard times or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, who is St. Patrick anyways, and why does he get this day? You know, I mean, it's like he's fucking, you know, he's Christopher or whatever is, what's his name? What's Santa Claus's name?
St. Nick?
Nicholas, St. Nicholas. Yeah, Saint like, Nick. Is this guy St. Nicholas? Right. I mean, what was he delivering presents to people? Like, why are we celebrating him?
St. Jack Nicholas? Who the fuck is this guy? Why isn't he as cool? Like, what are we doing here? But I just think it's such a give me the green or I'm running the red kind of day. And it's unbelievable how hard people go. It's a sneaky day, fella, especially on a Sunday. So that is that's just too funny in terms of just getting absolutely annihilated, especially, like I said, on a Sunday. Ozzo, over in Jackson Hole this week, I got to tell you a little quick story in terms of – so the Million Dollar Cowboy had this guy in five straight nights, the drive for five. His name was David Lee Jones. I was calling him David Lee Furta. So we got in on Tuesday. He obviously was there on Monday. He did Monday through Friday. He did the drive for five. He might even been there Saturday too. I think he was, but we went over to the Silver Dollar. Anyways, every night he had the same exact set with the same spiel. So like he would do the same songs at the same times for five straight nights. I mean, we were there 3 and 3, so we got to see the whole thing. But he would do it to the point, Ozzy, where it would be like, you know, he's like, hey, I haven't sang this song in over a year, and we got a couple veterans out there. They normally don't do it, but I'm going to do it tonight. And he would sing Jamie Johnson in Color. And he would do this all this whole like stick for every single song. And then he'd be like, you got to pour one out too. Well, we lost him earlier in the year. Who doesn't like America? Red, white, and blue. Toby Keith. So he would do the same thing, take the same exact.
So you saw it. You saw it a bunch of times.
Firsthand. I mean, to the point where me, my mom, and sister are just dying laughing in there because, like, how could this guy actually, you know, put this together? And, like, how can you not, like, vary off the track a little bit when you're doing five or six nights at the same goddamn bar? I mean, I feel like I was on acid. I was sitting because the funny thing is, Ozzy, the three nights we were there, two of the nights, and it was a jarred place. I mean, there was a lot of people in there for David Lee Furta, especially on Wednesday and Thursday when more people started rolling into town. But we lucked out and we sat at the exact same table. So for two of the nights, I felt like I was on acid. I was like, this is literally the same night at the same time, to the point where he took the break and went back to see the guy that was kind of had his mixer set up in the back. And he was talking to the same girl. I'm like, what is going on right now? But like, how do you not
Groundhog's Day?
Yeah. How do you not just do a different little set? You know, like it was so funny. He would, I mean, the guy, you got to give him, he got a hell of a routine, you're right. Mm-hmm. He's doing the same thing.
He found something that worked and he's just stuck with it. You know, that, how does he keep it interesting for himself though? If he's doing the same thing, like that's when you realize, you know, when you watch these big bands, it's like, if they're playing the same exact set, how don't they get a little like, I'm fucking sick of this.
Yeah, I don't know. And how do you not just have another, you know, George Strait song? Are you doing Troubadour again? I love Troubadour, but you're going to do it again? I don't know. It was just so funny because it was literally like clockwork. Like at 11:02, you know, the Toby Keith song would come on. And 11:07, now, okay, we're back to George Strait. 11:13, now we got Jamie Johnson. 11:17, okay, now we're going over to Kenny Chesney. So it was just, it was funny. But Ozzy, one thing, man, that I need to learn to do, and I don't know if you need a skunk in terms of a counterpart to learn how to do this, but fella, line dancing? How sick is line dancing?
So nailed.
Especially when you had the shit kickers on the hardwood. Mm-hmm. You're making a little bit of noise. And I didn't know this, but line dancing, it just depends. It varies on what song it's going to be. So sometimes mm-hmm. they're dropping it low a little bit. Sometimes it's a little quicker slide to the left, up, back, sideways. And they always add these little different movements depending on the song. Like, how do you know what to do? I mean, I've only been to Texas Roadhouse really to see like someone actually line dance. Obviously some bars in Texas when I lived there, but this was like clockwork, fella. It was like 30 people all in a line and probably yep. 26 of them were pretty good. And then the elite were at the first row. They had sweat towels out there. The skunks were getting taught how to do it. It was unbelievable. Where do you start in terms of line dancing? Because we need to bring it back, dude. It was that sick.
I know I've always thought that too, because I was living in Salt Lake City, and one of the bars that we went to did line dancing. And I mean, if you're going out to wheel a girl, if you're going to the bar to try to take someone home, you know, have a fun night or whatever, there's no better way to do it. I mean, you're dancing with the girl. It's fun. You're kind of looking at each other if you know what you're doing. Now, I've always, you know, we used to go to this bar and I was single at the time. And I'm like, I mean, I got no chance here. Like, I don't know how to line dance. The only chance you have at wheeling at those bars is if you're line dancing. And yeah, I mean, there's got to be a class on how to do it. But like you said, they do a little different dance every song. And it's just everyone knows what dance they're going to do. It must be to the beat of the song or something. But it's like, how do you know what dance you're doing just based on the song? Like, you didn't go to some class and like, oh, this, you know, Made in America's on or whatever, like, you got George Strait on, we're doing this dance. Like, no one, like, there's no leader up there saying like, all right, we're doing this dance. It's just everyone already knows.
Yeah, it was wild. And I met this, what I thought was a couple last year at the Silver Dollar Showroom, which was the bar just right across the street, or you kind of just, you go around. It's a little bit of a dog leg, right? If you make your way out of the Cowboy, and it's at the Wart Hotel. So it's literally like the 1-2 parlay, like you read about. It's probably about 100 feet away. Anyways, I was there last year and there was what I thought to be this couple there, and it was a guy and a girl. And so we get, you know, sitting there talking, me and my uncle Morty, we're sitting right off the dance floor. And they come to take a little bit of a water break at the table we're at. And Monty had a few IPAs at the time. He starts chatting them up. He's like, hey, how long have you guys been together? We're like, you know, we're here for the weekend skiing, this and that. And they go like, we're not actually together. We're just dance partners. We've been doing this for 17 years. So no shit. We see them on Tuesday night. They're getting the whole thing going. I mean, they're doing line dancing. They're also doing like ballroom dancing. They're doing, mm-hmm. you know, just in terms of just an absolute duet. So this guy apparently has been partnered up with this gal for probably, the guy's probably 50, she's probably 35, for like 17 odd years. Like, they've been taking classes together, they're locals in town, but this guy will dance with her for a little bit. And then when a gal that's in town for a ski trip or a bachelorette wants a little bit of a twirl, he'll take her out there. And like you said, I mean, there's no better way to wheel. I mean, you're chin on chin, you're spinning around the dance floor, you're making her move, you're dropping her low. It's just like dancing. I mean, it's a lost art, Ozzo, and we're not talking about hitting the teach me how to Dougie or the two step. No. You know what I mean? This is real on juke.
So,
yes, and I need to learn how to two step, line dance, all of that, because fella, if you can be out there on that wood and you're killing it and you're directing traffic, you're sending it right. You're sending it left. You're hitting the, you know, when they like slap the side of their thigh too.
Yeah.
Like
that, yeah.
It's literally so poetry good. In motion.
Yeah. It is.
It's like, I felt like I was in Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. So it was cool there, but Ozzo, I wanted to give a shout out to the Jackson Hole Moose. I don't know if you've heard of this team. It's a senior A team in town. It's basically, you know, if you have the NHL, they consider themselves pro. I say that in parentheses, and I say that with all due respect because these guys are beauties. But if you're working your way down the totem pole, you got the NHL, you got the American Hockey League, you got the Easy Come, Hard to Leave, the ECHL. Then you go down to probably the SP, which is the Southern Provincial, and then the Federal League. And then Senior A would probably be right there. So these guys in town, I met them last year, the whole team, because I actually know a guy in the teams. He's a mutual friend, I guess. He's a beauty. So these guys basically live in town, Ozzy. They're blue-collar guys. They're working either on the hill. They're electricians in town. They run a snowmobile company. They're hunting guides or fishing mm-hmm. guides in the summer. So these are just local beauties that move into town and, you know, hanging out at the Million Dollar Cowboy. You know, it's rough hockey too. So they're on Friday and Saturday nights, they're chucking them both ways. But I wanted to give a shout out to one of the guys I met last year who his nickname was Opie, and he was playing in his last game ever as a Moose. I think he came into Jackson nothing but a chin and a dream back in 2015, and he ultimately stayed 9 years. So this guy is their fighter on their team. And Opie last year, Ozzo, when I was about to leave the bar, I had like a 5 a.m. flight. And what these guys do, and I was actually talking to their coach, but what they do after Saturday night games, which it happened to be last year, is the Cowboy closes down at about 1:30. So you can either go to another bar for about a half hour, but these guys send it back to the locker room. So they go back to the locker room straight out of Mystery Alaska. I mean, these guys are full on Mystery Alaska. It's cut from the mm-hmm. same fabric. So they go out, they go back to the locker room. And I remember this guy, Opie, specifically, he's like, swish. He's like, you're coming with me. I'm like, where are we going? He's like, we're going to the rink. Most of the boys, they walk 7 blocks. Hey, hop in the bed of the pickup. I'll take you. So he's like, he just had the fucking car parked out front of the Cowboy, his old Dodge fucking 250 or whatever it is, Ram. This was last year. And he wanted me to go. I'm like, man, like I got like a 5 a.m. flight. I'm on day like 3 or 4 of my bender right now. Like, how about we just, you know, rain check this? He's like, fuck you. Have one in the locker room. I'm like, dude, no, like, I'm going home. Like, I got to be up in 3 hours. Like, I'm sorry. I in hindsight, I wish I would have joined him, but I wanted to just give a shout out to his name is Christian Opus. He's their fighter on their team. He rocks no visor, no cage. And what a nail gun that guy was. I mean, this team, Ozzy, 1 year, I think we're going to have to go play either in a game or play against them or even just go mm-hmm. catch a game because they sell out the local rink. I mean, not crazy numbers, really? But it's 1,500 people all in a That's beer good. Garden. It's pretty sick, man. And it's straight out of Mystery Alaska, like I was telling you. Like, you got to look up their Instagram account when we get off the airwaves here because it is so funny. The content is great. It's unbelievable. I don't know if you know who that Johnny Lazarus guy is that does, like, the beat reporter for the New York Rangers. He was in town, actually, playing against them. So they'll fly in teams to have play them.
No way.
And last year, late night around the pool table at the Million Dollar Cowboy, their coach was trying to negotiate a deal to get me on the team. He's like, you know what, Swish, you'll be on PP1. I'm like, well, fuck, I hope so. You know, like, what do you mean? Like,
you'll be on PP1,
fella. I mean, I play in the National League. I just got
get back. Get your power play time, buddy. Don't worry about it.
I just played the Fondue League of Switzerland, a great league over there. I mean, I'm thinking, oh, he's like, we'll get you set up on the power play. You'll play 30. He's like, we'll fly you in. You know, we'll pay you, put you up in a hotel, ski lifts, all taken care of. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this doesn't sound like a bad little gig. Now, I was talking to one of the players on the team, our mutual friend. His name is Mike Longo. And I was like, Long's like, what's this league like? He's like, oh, yeah, you should do it. But I wear a cage. I'm like, you wear a cage? Like, what the fuck? He's like, yeah. 2 years ago, a guy just came right behind me and slashed me in the face. I'm like, what? Yeah, a guy from Boise just let me have it. So I'm a dad now, so I wear a cage. So I'm like, holy fuck, what is this? Like, that's the last thing I need, Ozzo, is fucking 7 zips across my face like I'm Scarface leaving the Cowboy. It's like, okay, maybe this deal doesn't sound too good. And a guy like Brooks Orpik actually lives in town, and they've tried to get him to come out for a cameo appearance. He's like, there's no fucking way I'm going out there. So wow. I just thought it was funny. But
Brooks, he would end up killing someone.
Yes, or just getting slashed because some guy's trying to make a name for himself. So I know that is
that's all time.
A little bit long-winded, but I had to give a shout out to the Senior A Beauties over in Jackson Hole, the Jackson Hole Moose, who sell out that rink. It's actually a sick
So are those rink. Boys, are those fellas walking around town like, yeah, we play for team, you know, Jackson, we're the pro team here.
And like, Ozzie
kind of letting people know.
Oh yeah, and you know, it's like I would say it's like the feel around the town. Now it's not obviously National League, but it feels like it's like a good AHL team in a small city. Like I'm at the Cowboy and I'm at the Silver Dollar and people are decked out in merch. Like they got the moose hat on, they got the sweatshirt
the
on.
The boys are getting discounts around town, like people buying their meals and shit.
100% they're taking care of them. And when I was at the Cowboy with them last year. I didn't see them out this year, but when I was with them, like they're getting shots, like people are sending it over to them, like, Opie, nice fight last night. You know, it's like there's like
that's, you know, so mystery Alaska.
Because there's a good amount of locals in that place. And as you know, Wyoming's a nice red state. And it's, you know, it's pretty, you know, conservative. There's not a whole lot of people. There's a lot of cowboys. So there is a lot of sandpaper in that town as is. So the locals love them. The people that fly in, they go to the games. Even the ski bums go to the games. The people that have houses in town that, you know, maybe are just, you know, they're a little bit wealthier. They're able to pop in. They're going to the games. I mean, it's all time. Ozzie, I'm telling you right now, this has been a long bit on the Jackson Hole Moose.
So good.
But we got to go to a game because you should have seen how invested my sister was in it. She's checking the Instagram live feed every night. Yeah. She's like, no way. Opie just talked. I'm like, no, this last game? No. We're looking up their stats. They got all their stats on the website. I mean, it's great.
I might tune in. I might get some merch too. That's how you sell merch right there. I mean, that's the type of merch I want, you know, a team like that.
Yes. It was unbelievable, Ozzie. So enough on the Moose. Ozzo, we mentioned last week the Players Ball is going to be back. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think the ball should look like this year. So folks that didn't catch last week's episode, what the Players Ball is I hosted one along with all the fellas during COVID back in 2020. And basically what it is, it's a spinoff of the Players Ball, which includes pimps, pimpettes. As I always say, the tagline is you show up rocking more fur and alligator than you'd find in the Louisiana swamp. So you got to have a fur guy. You got to have your boots dialed in. Maybe you just even head over to a place like Nordstrom, Neiman Marcus. You get a nice fit that a rapper would wear, an NBA guy would wear, or even just a pimp. So it's one of the staple events that's been kind of honestly on the back burner for the last 5 years. Ozzie, I wanted to get your thoughts. Do we still do a yacht cruise? Or hear me out on this. I don't know if there's a ton of places like this, but a roller rink would be unbelievable. I've always mentioned that in terms of getting everyone to a roller rink.
Yeah.
Now, if that roller rink had bottle service, that would be ideal. I don't think there's a ton of those places out there, especially at a place like Minneapolis and or the greater Phoenix area. But what are you thinking for the ball this year if you're throwing out some ideas, brother?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough not to go with the yacht because it just feels, you know, so players ballish. Right. But yeah, you're right. A roller rink, I mean, come on, that'd be unbelievable. And the only reason we probably can't do it at a roller rink is because, you know, the way America's went nowadays, you know, everyone's too scared to do it. Oh, what if someone falls and injures themselves? They might sue me. It's like, you know what? Have everyone sign a waiver. You know, if you get injured on the roller rink, you can go fuck yourself. Right. And that's the way it should be. That's America. And if it was still like that, if it was that easy, we'd probably be able to get bottle service at a roller rink and those places would be fucking jam packed because who wouldn't want to go, you know, roll around having drinks, partying, disco ball. I mean, it doesn't sound any better than that. It reminds me of the, you know, the Randy Moss and the New England Patriots Halloween party when they had Bill Belichick out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's disco balls and disco biscuits. You get out on the roller rink and I've always had a vision of like, what if you had a roller rink inside of a nightclub? So like you, on the outside of the rink, you have like booths you can skate into. So your bottle service is right off the rink. Now, again, liability, all this bullshit. I don't know if you'd have to be blown under a .2 to get back on the sheet or whatever it is, or skate at your own risk. I know there's going to be concussions. People are going to get split open. But the four wheels, the bottle service, the mink jackets, the cane, the pimps, the pimpettes. I mean, that has Players Ball written all over it. Again, The easiest option there, probably low and slow with it on the yacht and just keeping it the Players Ball Yacht Cruise. But that's one thing we're going to have to monitor as we get into the season. I'm thinking kind of in and around July in terms of that Gershus wedding. I think that wedding is sometime in late July.
Yeah, perfect.
I believe it's on a Friday. So if you rolled it around and did the wraparound, maybe we do it on that Saturday. I'm not sure. But the Players Ball is going to be back, folks. Azo, one other question. So I wanted to ask you, and this got brought up at dinner last night, and just in terms of fishing off the same pier. So what fishing off the same pier, for the folks that don't know, is say your buddy, you know, had an intimate relationship with a gal. For better or worse, he whacked her. They've had sex. They hung out. And now she's a pretty good-looking girl. And you maybe want to slide in on that, and you start developing feelings on top of that. So, you know, it could have been 3 months prior. It could have been a year. Could have been two. It could have been five. But people don't forget, and especially guys in that situation, they might forget what they did yesterday, but they have a memory of an elephant in that situation, Ozzy. And I just wanted to ask you, in terms of fishing off the same pier, like, how do you feel about it? And what are your kind of guidelines of, even if she's an absolute Maurice Richard in terms of a rocket, how do you feel about fishing off the same pier? Are you a guy that you're like, fuck, you know what? Maybe I could get over this, or you're just like, you know what, Tomer whacked that girl. I can't do it.
Yeah, no. You know, I've never been. I don't know what this says about me, honestly, but I've never been a guy to really care about that. Really, you know, like, in terms of like,
you would, if the price is right, you would date her and be able to get over it.
I guess when you're talking about dating.
Right. I'm not just talking about a one night PTO. Of course.
Oh, you're thinking like dating wise. It really all depends on the guy. It depends on the guy and kind of how it went down. I think I would need to do some research on that and kind of figure out, you know, what went down, what age, what happened. Would you see in this guy?
Say this guy would stand in your future wedding. You know, he's that good of a buddy. Are you doing it? Now you're walking down the aisle and he's sitting there in the two hole. He's like, fuck, I whacked her.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, I don't know why. Yeah, no, that's a great point. I don't think I'm doing it. And, you know, and the reason I say this, and this is not, you know, this is about everyone. You know, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Now, I fully believe that. I'm not, you know, no apologies to my future wife, Gabby. But I do believe there's many fish in the sea, and, you know, people say, oh, I found the one I was meant for in life. No, you didn't. You just found whatever works. There's a million girls out there that would work. I just think if one of your best boys, you know, went there and it's one of your close boys, I just think I'm not going through with it. I don't think I can. I think, you know, in the back of my mind, I know there's so many fish in the sea. I'm like, you know what? There's going to be another one that I like. And I know it's hard because you definitely create emotions for someone, and guys get stupid with girls. They're like, oh, I love this girl so much. I don't even know why. It's probably because she got big tits and just bangs me any time I want. But like, I love her. And it's like, right. No, yeah, I know you love her right now, but you'll love another girl in 2 weeks. Like, it just happens. Yeah. So, yeah. I just know that in the back of my head, so that would be my decision. I just don't think I could go through with that.
I agree. It's just, I've just never been a guy. From the age I was playing junior hockey to even into college, and now being a unrestricted free agent off the sheet, it went back to junior for me, Ozzy. A coach there, Luke Strand. But when he was in Sioux City, and I was a young Jay Swish, back in the day, 15, 16 years old, going into junior, he always told me, Maltzy, never fish off the same pier. Just don't do it. It creates drama. You don't want that. And that's always been ingrained in my head, to the point where you make a good point where, okay, if it's just going to be a one-night thing, that don't matter. That is what it is. But if you're going to pursue the gal, you're going to start dating her, and now maybe you're getting serious with her. I just couldn't do that, Ozzy. And I don't even know if that's fair to say, but that's just how my chin feels. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on fishing off the same pier. Go the pier over. Go, you know, you're in Manhattan Beach, slide down to Hermosa. Okay, that pier's a little full. go down the next one, right? It's just, it is what it is. Like you can slide down to Marina Del Rey, or you can go over Redondo Beach, go south with it. There's a lot of different places, right? It's just
so many endless, endless places, endless. Right. They never end.
Yeah. So, so I just want to get your thoughts on that. Another one Wheeling related, because I think a lot of our viewers like this little segment of that. Also, I got a situation where, okay, so you're talking to a girl, and let's just use myself for example, because I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the situation, the situation. You're talking to a gal, and you haven't met her yet in person, okay? She maybe lives far away. It's at least a flight away, right? She might be in the Midwest. She might be in Cali. She might be in the Pacific Northwest. Hey, baby, maybe she in Florida. And you want to get to know her, and, well, you're either going to have to fly her to you, or you're going to have to go play a road game. In a situation like this, I'm always a guy, get me on my home soil. I got a place here. It is what it is. Now, you're looking to maybe fly her out. So what are the terms, what are the conditions on that professional tryout? I always use, like, it's like you got to treat it like an official visit back in the day in college. So, you know, you're looking at different schools. The school flies you out. They give you the per diem pack. You get to go to the game. You get a place to stay. Hey, maybe even take you out for a nice steak dinner. You meet the coaches. You meet the staff. You see the facilities. You can see my place. You know, you can see the amenities, this and that. Maybe we go for a hike. I wanted to ask you, is that 100% off of your wallet? Or for the guys wondering, flying in girls on a professional tryout, a weekend getaway, if you will, is that something that a girl should be dusting off her own Amex, or is that something that's got to be 100% on you?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think the flight, it depends on what you're looking for too, right? Like if you know, and I speak from experience with official visits, right? I did a couple in college, you know, I've done a couple of these, and
right.
Off the bat, you know, if the girl agrees to it, just from experience, there's a red flag there. You know, you're already thinking like, she's actually coming. Hey, that's kind of fucked. Yeah. But no, I think
you're usually booking that burb when you've had a couple drinks too. You're like, you know, let's get you out here next weekend. And then Thursday rolls around. You're like, Jesus, she's actually coming.
I think it depends on what you're putting down. Like if you're like, hey, I'll get your flight, you know, you spend some points or some money on her flight, then she should whip out the Amex for a couple drinks or a meal or something. If she gets her own flight there, I think the weekend's on you for sure. Whatever you guys do. I mean, you get creative with it as a guy. If a girl does come and she spends her own money on the flight, or she has points or whatever, she uses them. You know what? I'll pay for your weekend, and then you just get smart with how much money you spend, where you bring her, that type of stuff. But if you're getting the flight, I do feel like I never thought it should be. I don't like the guy taking care of everything financially.
I agree.
That's not cool. I think then what's the difference between you and a prostitute? Not you know, it's the same thing. I could just go down the street and get a stripper out of the, and, you know, pay her for the weekend or whatever. It's the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, as James Wisniewski, shout out to Wiz, once told me, you're paying for it one way or the other. You got a wife, you're probably paying for it. You got a hooker, you're paying for it. You're always paying for pussy. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's kind of the truth, though. I do agree with Wiz in that sense of you're always kind of paying for it. But Ozzy, going back to your point, don't you think, as a guy, you should probably take care of that bird and then just see what happens. Okay, you can stay at my place. I'll grab the dinners. But maybe one night she's like, I got the drinks or I got lunch today. And then you're like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty nice. And especially if she's got a gal that, you know, hopefully has her head on straight, she's probably got a decent job. And, you know, she's not just like an Instagram flying where it's like, holy fuck, I'm dusting off everything. And this is, if this goes past this weekend, I mean, you know, I'm just the bankroll here taking her pictures at the pool with her bikini on. But if she's a decent gal, and again, I'm a little older now, so I like to think that, you know, if I, at this point, if you're going to be making that sort of commitment to a gal, you know, she's probably got her head on straight. She's looking for something. Who knows? We'll see how this weekend goes. It's always just an official visit, but I do think that bird should be covered. Now, we're not talking about first class. We're not breaking the bank here. maybe, baby, we can get you the Economy Plus if I got the Amex points. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not putting her on Frontier or Spirit either, too, because I don't want her to die up there in the skies. But, hey, we're going to get you on an American Bird. We'll seat you somewhere between 17 and 24. Mm-hmm. And maybe if that upgrade's $38, okay, baby, we'll slide you up for one. Or maybe on the way back, we'll slide you up a little bit because you had a great, great weekend, right?
Yeah.
You came out. You know, it was a road yeah. win. You got a couple
That's a great play.
There. But I just wanted to get your thoughts there. You can't just be rolling out the red carpet too soon either, Ozzo, because if you fake it a little bit, all of a sudden you're acting like you're Bobby Big Wheel and you're taking her out to the nice dinners, this and that, and you're spending, you know.
Then you're just scamming
too much.
Her, right?
It's like,
I mean, you're,
the bar is set too high.
If you're paying it for everything, I agree. I think that the flight, getting the bird out there, getting the flight, that's a good play because – you know, then you can kind of make a judgment like, okay, I've already picked up the flight here. She's done the travel time, so it's kind of even. Let's keep this even. You know, I'm hoping she is going to offer to pay for at least one set of drinks that you guys get or something. At least offer. Now, yeah. if this girl doesn't offer anything, you're a fucking bozo. If you're just paying for everything, you pay for the flight, you pay for everything, she's being a dud, whatever. I mean, you could find it. You could get yourself in a huge loss there too. Like, what if she's a dud? She's not, you know, she's not even touching you the whole time. She's just walking around taking pictures. It's like,
right.
fuck.
It's like all rub, no tug. She's got no yeah. interest. She just came to see the mountains. She saw your wet deck. She liked your spot. You know, you sent her a snap at the pool the other day. She liked that. That's kind of what got her there. But pick up the $48 breakfast. Maybe it's $36. I'll grab the meal at night. Perfect. That's a win for me. Right?
Yeah.
Dinner these days ain't cheap no matter where you're going. We can go to fucking Chili's and it's still going to be $100, right? I'm still dropping $100. Now, if you work your way up the ladder a little bit, especially places in the desert, they ain't cheap. And then you got drinks involved, and which is whatever. But it's just nice if the other counterpart could be like, hey, you know what? Butter's Cafe, North Scottsdale, I'm picking that up. I bought your traditional breakfast. I let you get the avocado. You got the Americano too. Perfect. And a bloody. All right. We got $52. Perfect, baby. Let's roll. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, Ozzo, because I'm sure there's some, you know, some young single fellas out there not only need advice with fishing off the same pier. Okay. We covered that, especially the young listeners, all those. We have a lot of college hockey listeners, guys playing D1, even young professionals. Boys, don't be fishing off the same pier one night. That's different. Okay. But if you're going to go pursue her,
you don't love her. Fella, you don't love her.
Don't love her. You know, just be hard to love in that sense. And official visits, we've always said, especially in our veteran crew of the golf trip over in North Dakota, you get 5 a year. So if you're going to use all 5, buddy, maybe just start fishing in your own home's turf. Like, why are you flying these girls in? Why, you can't wheel out in your own stadium? Like, what are we doing here? So 5 a year, that's excessive, I would even say.
It is, and it's definitely a gamble. Doing the official visits. I mean, it's you think it's all, you know, it's rainbows and stars and everything. It ain't, you know, you don't even know that girl. I know you know her texting her and maybe getting some snaps from her and you maybe like those snaps, but you don't know what this girl's going to bring for a full 24 hours.
Yeah. You're thinking with your Jimmy Horn Jr. there in terms of just, you know, you're just all cock there. You're like a coyote, all cock and ribs. That's all you're looking for. So boys, tread lightly, those official visits. I had one earlier in the year, and she went south. You know, she went straight to Louisiana in a hurry. But thank God I was able to exit the situation. We actually talked about that. That was only a one-nighter, too, Ozzo. That was the old, you know, it's Tuesday. You're in bed at noon still. Like, let's get her going here, baby. You gotta
break the agreement.
Right. Let's get to Chili's at the airport. Let's get out of here. Let's get the priority check and let's get into our Tuesday here. Cause right now this ain't working. But Ozzo, before we send it over to the PGA Tour, I just wanted to plug our YouTube page. Forgot to do it at the start of the episode. Again, if you like the boys, you like listening to us. I don't know where you listen to, but everyone else, the movement, especially the younger kids, is going towards YouTube, being able to watch the fellas over here at Live and Five. Please go like that. Subscribe to us at Live and Five 2024. Every like and subscription really helps the boys build this empire. We're trying to get cooking over here in the slow cooker, low and slow with our chins tucked. But brought to you always by Mini Movers and Butter Golf. Let's get to golf. Speaking of it, the PGA Tour this past weekend, Azo was live from TPC Sawgrass. Scotty fucking Scheffler darted a 64 on Sunday, fella. He stole that thing right off of Xander Schauffele's chin, walking away with 4.5 bananas. How are you? He shot minus 20. I believe he is now a back-to-back champion at the Players. One of my favorite weekends, tournaments of the year in the PGA. It was a great weekend down in South Florida. Oswald, did you catch any of the Players? Because just the name of that tourney too, like, how national is that? The Players, fella? Players.
And Jordo, do you, I watched all of Saturday because I sat on the couch kind of hungover all day, and I watched all Sunday driving back to the cities. I caught the, you know, had it on the phone playing over the radio. Yeah, I mean, unbelievable tournament. Now, it sucks. It sucks, like, when you watch a tournament like this and you don't have the Brooks Koepkas, the Dustin Johnsons, the Philly Mickelsons. You know, you don't have the Cam Smith. You don't have the John Rahm. So it's watered down, but it's still unbelievable. It was an unbelievable finish. I mean, it was great. It was great up until the end. Obviously, Wyndham Clark. Also, just sidebar here, Jordo. Wyndham. You name your kid Wyndham? Jesus Christ. I mean,
what are you, a fucking hotel chain?
Yeah, I mean, what are you fucking going to marry? You name your kids fucking Marriott, Hilton, and Hampton, or what? Like, it's a joke. Why are you naming your kid Wyndham? I don't know the guy. I don't know him at all. I've got a vendetta against him for some reason. I know his mom has passed and he's going through a hard time. People kind of like him. I just can't get past his name, Wyndham. It's like, why are you naming your kid Wyndham? You're just trying too hard. But anyways, that was a tangent. It was a great tournament.
Waldorf Astoria.
What are you, Waldorf Radisson?
Astoria Auspice.
come on.
I agree.
Get out of here with this name. But it was a great tournament. But Jordo, do you know why it's called the Players? I got asked that. Why is this tournament called the Players? And I was like, I don't know. I think it's like the Players tournament, right? Like, I think, like, you know, you got the 3M here in Minneapolis, and 3M kind of host the tournament, and they make it, and they have the rules for it, what goes on with the events. Does the Players mean, like, all the players, like the group of players kind of run this tournament, or what is that?
I really don't know, because they have a lot of sponsorships outside of it. Obviously, every tournament does, but you make a good point there. Like, I mean, we're just two assholes chopping it up here, but I have no idea. I don't know why it's called the Players. Now, Ozzy, I think one thing they could do just based on that name is make their logo a little bit swaggier. Like, you're the fucking Players. Like, how sick is that?
It's nails.
So, I don't know. Tournament. I honestly don't know. We'll have to look it up after the show. Maybe someone listening on Thursday can tweet at us and let us know, us idiots, why it is called the Players. But did you see that piss missile that Max Homa hit?
Oh,
that tree?
God.
Did you see that absolute piss missile? He just hazel rocketed one. I mean, right next to the gallery. If that would have tagged someone's chin or caught someone in the skull, they literally would have been dead. And that leads me to my next point, Ozzy, is why do people stand so goddamn close to guys, especially when they're in the trees? I mean, it's one thing off the tee. I wouldn't stand there. But when you're off the beaten path and you got to play like a 60-yard fucking draw over a tree and sneak it in some sort of window, like catch the low screws with it and really turn on it. I mean, a lot could go wrong there. I know they're goddamn professionals and they're plus 9 or 10 handicaps, but you wouldn't catch me dead standing there, man.
No, you can't. I always think those people are just idiots. Like, I've seen Justin Thomas and a couple other guys tee off. You know, they're cutting the corner and going over the trees. They're literally lined up at the fans. Like, the fans are just watching him, like, lined up at him, and they're just watching the ball go straight over their head, like lifting their head up. It's insane. Like, if I'm in the crowd and that's my only spot, I'm definitely, you know, standing 2-3 rows back, letting the idiots in front of me, like, okay, yeah, you're like, we all know what can happen. I mean, even these pros shank shots, which that one did. Luckily, it hit a tree, or else it probably would have murdered someone.
It was Homa's quote was all time, too. He's like, reporter asked him, like, you know, what happened there and what were you, did you apologize to the gallery? He's like, well, no, I didn't apologize for the tree. It's like, dude, like it didn't kill anyone. You know, at the end of the day, like it was scary. It was pretty nuts, but at the same time, like it just
caught one guy's video. It looked like it tagged him in the head.
Yeah. It looked like it absolutely tagged him like a deer on opening day, but yeah, that was nuts. I just thought that tournament unbelievable. Obviously 17, just the whole, just aroma, you know, just the aura of it. It's unbelievable. With the island there. And yeah, I just love that tournament, Ozzo. So good to see Scooty Chef, the nerd he is, celebrating with Meredith. I'm probably sure he was drinking milk that night. It's probably whole milk with the maybe one Michelob Ultra and, you know, just rub his gal's belly that she's pregnant.
Is that guy like, he's kind of getting close to, I mean, I know the PGA Tour is watered down, but he's kind of getting close to Tiger territory where it's like Scotty or the field. To win this tournament?
I mean, if he could putt, Oswald, he'd have five or six more tournaments, hands down, too. Like, his flatter is not perfect, but he just throws dart. He gets those toes going like he's going foot loose on the dance floor over at the Million Dollar Cowboy. So, yeah, he's entering that territory. But like you mentioned at the start of this whole rant was, I mean, without the live guys, brother, it's just – it ain't the same. I mean, it really sucks that majors are only – the real time we're going to see the best field possible in all of golf. And that leads me to a couple weeks from now, Augusta, the crispiest place in all of the land. Wow. The Masters is coming up, brother. 2 or 3 weeks out. John Rahm, the Spaniard, just released his dinner menu. Ozzy, did you catch that? Because, I mean, I don't know. I guess you have the right to pick whatever you want to eat, but Rambo going full Spaniard on the fellas, like tapas style, small dishes. Like, that's everything I hate in all of meals. And I'm sure some of the stuff actually looked pretty good. There was, you know, there was a ribeye on there. There was some different things. If we pull up the menu here, but I wanted to get your thoughts in terms of, like, if I'm sitting down in the clubhouse of Augusta, I don't want like little shareable plates. I don't want to be, you know, just a couple nibbles at something. I want a fucking man's meal. I want a nice wedge salad. I want a nice steak, you know, some nice family style sides, a big dessert. Like, what are you picking if you're Ozzo sitting at the cock head of that table at 12 o'clock as your master's meal?
Yeah, I mean, that takes some thought. I mean, because obviously there's a lot to it, but I'm with you there. I mean, John Rahm's, I just think he tried a little too hard. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm from Spain. I guess Hideki did the same thing, but Hideki Matsuyama's champion's meal was it looked unbelievable. I was like, holy fuck, I want that meal. Like, I'm honestly trying to go make it myself. But this one, it's just like, you know, does anyone know what Spaniards eat? Like, does anyone know Spanish or like Spain? Like,
culinary? I mean, I was in Barcelona for 5 days. I don't think I ate once. I was in Ibiza for two. I don't think I ate once.
Like, you didn't go there for the food. No one's going there for the food, eh?
No. I mean, I remember we had what's that, like a paella, like the rice dish?
Yeah, yeah.
They had that. It has like the sausage in it. I think I ate that every day at like 4 p.m. just to get me over the hump. So
it's,
I
went okay. Fucking, yeah, you know, it's decent. Just
didn't think I was going to have a jammer. You know, that was fun. We did have some. We went to one Spanish place one night, Ozzo, but it was like, it's weird stuff, man. Like, it's like, I don't know. When I'm sitting there, I'm not like I don't want to like share like little one biters, unless it's like sushi, you know, like the tapas, like, yeah, let's just order like 19 different things and we'll all have one bite. I'm like, fella, like, fuck, give me a man's meal over here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't like sharing those, the one bite that's like a little Michelin star thing with the appetizers and the small plates. It's like, I don't want one bite. If I like what I'm having, I want like 10 to 15 bites. I don't want just one bite and be like, oh yeah, that was good. That was good. Let me have some ginger to clean my palate. I don't want to clean my palate. I just want another bite.
I'm looking at the menu right now and it's the tapas style. I'm going to try to pronounce this. It's hilarious. Ibricos, a corn-fed Ibrian ham, cured pork loin, chistoria con patata.
Trying too hard.
Spicy bass chorizo potato. And then you got...
And he's got his mom's... He's got Mama Rahm's lentil soup or something. It's like, yep. No one likes lentil.
Yeah, then you got like...
Get creamy, that shit out of here.
Creamy chicken fritters. And then you go to the first course is like a... crab salad potato, then you can go with the a ribeye with some peppers. That's a chuleton a la paella or a redalbayo pil, which is like a, I think it's a fish with some asparagus. Anyways, I'm going to stop pronouncing Spanish shit because I can't roll the fucking double L. But yeah, I just think, okay, I guess it is your heritage. It is your night. But I just remember like Dustin Snow Johnson, the night he had there. It was just like the most like Southern man's meal of all time. It's something that's going to put a little hair on your chest. Give me the ribeye, the mash, the nice, you know, like the nice mac and cheese. You get like a hot fudge sundae for dessert. I don't know, like even Hideki's last year with this teriyaki and different things like that. Like it looked pretty good. I just thought this one, the boys are probably sitting there like, this is just not perfect. Like Ozzy, you're not thinking like, I can't wait for some Spanish food. You're thinking maybe Mexican would be really good. You're not thinking
Mexican would be great.
I'm thinking about eating paella and tapas and all that bullshit. So, anyways, Rambo, whatever, fella. Couple of clicks for you. I might be eating before that at over at Texas Roadhouse in Augusta, maybe Hooters.
All the champions are getting dinner before it.
Yeah, exactly. You're going over to Hooters right in Augusta and you're getting a dozen wings and some draft beers because you can't eat that shit. I might be doing that. Fucking, oh yeah, how is it? Oh, it's unbelievable. It's great, buddy. Good job. Mama's lentil, fucking unbelievable. Keep going. but Ozzo, let's shift it from the felt over to a little bit of NHL talk, different things, what's going on. The Canes fella, we called him out the other week. Now, again, it is not playoff time yet, so let's not speak too soon because I do still believe in your theory. These boys are getting fucking just blanked every time they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But Kuznetsov looks really good. Gensel looks really good. This team looks like they're gelling. I thought one cool little nugget, People's Insider. I know it's going around a little bit. In terms of Elliot Friedman released it today on his pod. I think even I caught a clip of Spittin' Chicklets saying it, but Justin Williams was a big reason why Evgeny Kuznetsov ended up in Carolina.
Really?
He was ultimately the guy that signed off on the deal with the owner, Tom Dundon, and Doug Waddell, the GM there. As you know, Justin Williams was on the 2018 Stanley Cup champion team with the Washington Capitals, who was their best player on that team that year, especially in the playoffs, Evgeny Kuznetsov. He had 32 points in 20-odd games. He was probably, if not the number one reason, the number one or two reason why the Capitals were able to win that cup because he was so good down the middle of the ice. So I thought that was a cool little tidbit of Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7, ultimately signing off on that. And you look at him, man, he's having fun out there, isn't he? He's got the eagle going, the bird wings, him and Gensel are snapping it around crispy. Ozzy, what I'm trying to say is if these guys can get those two players that they acquired at the deadline to score at a rate that they are now clicking, or maybe even a little bit better, especially with Freddie Anderson coming back, this is going to be a team come April, May, June that's going to be a really tough out for a lot of Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah, no, they're going to be really good. And, I mean, I have the utmost belief in Kuznetsov. I know he's taken the last few years off. I can relate a little bit. You know, like, once you win, and I know what I won, Jordo, was just a fucking college championship. Whatever, it's not even a big deal. It's not the cup. It's not even close to it. But I know what Kuznetsov is feeling after that. You know, he wins that cup, and he's like, you know what, fucking, what else do I got to do? I think it's been enough time now where he's like, you know what? I could go on another run. I'm going to pull out the eagle. And like you said, he was the best player on that team. And in playoffs, he won the Stanley Cup. He could easily redo that again. And he's on a really good team in Carolina right now. It's tough to not pick them come out of the Eastern side of things. But like we said, I mean, they're 0-16, their last 16 games in the Eastern Conference Finals with a lot of the same players. They haven't really changed identity yet. So, I don't know. We'll see there. But I do love what Gensel and Kuznetsov are bringing to that team. And I loved Rob Brindamore's quote, I think, when Kuznetsov scored that goal and pulled out the eagle. He's like, I fucking hated that celebration when he was on the Capitals. I love it now, though.
Yeah,
yeah, you fucking do. Whenever he's on your team, you love that. You love when he's pulling out the eagle. He's got it going. He's prancing around. He's feeling himself. I mean, that's when Kuznetsov at his best. He's a Russian. He's a flashy Russian. You need him pulling out the eagle.
Yep, and he's surrounded by – I always found when Russians have other Russians around him, and he had a couple, obviously, in his time in Washington, but he slides right in there with a former teammate, Dmitry Orlov, as well as Svechnikov. So you have a couple Russians in there already. It really makes a difference for those guys because they come in, they feel comfortable. Now he's having fun again. So that's just great to see. Also, the NHL, they announced this past week at the general manager meetings with Gary Bruce Bettman and Deputy Commissioner William Daly that the NHL will be doing something similar to what golf has done in previous years in terms of the full swing episodes for hockey, where the league and Amazon will basically follow along 10 to 12 NHL players for the duration of the year. And apparently this has already started. So this, whatever Amazon or whoever has been filming this with a couple of the players that they cannot name. Now, I do think I have a couple names I think that have done it, but some of these guys have already gotten followed along. They have confirmed it, that they will be airing it next season in terms of something that, you know, you see on game days, whether it's, you know, training in the summers, skating, maybe a couple of nights on the road. I'm sure they won't get into it in too depth that way, but it'll be pretty cool. I think this is something cool that the NHL will do. Hopefully some of these guys, though, like show some personality. I mean, in terms of like throw your chin out there a little bit. Don't
that
just
was my
be like,
main worry. That's like, my just main don't worry be like, with the NHL. Sleep,
you know, play hockey. Like, I don't know if Connor McDavid's a guy that I'm really dying to see because he's not going to show any of his cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was my main worry with the NHL guys. They're so different in front of a camera, which is the culture of hockey and hockey fans. You know, it's a more serious game. I'd say it's probably closer to baseball than it is the NFL and NBA in terms of that sense. Like, they're just a little more sheltered. They don't like showing their true colors. So hopefully they've got a couple guys who can actually, you know, act like themselves. You know, hopefully they can get them, you know, I know they hang out with each other outside of the rink and they do other things. So hopefully they can get a couple shots of that and just to see like who these guys actually are versus just who they are in front of the camera.
Who is like one guy that you would like to see on this episode? Maybe it's someone off the beaten path. Maybe it's a guy that you think has good style. He would maybe throw himself out there. Is it Zegras or is it, who is it?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think if you were to pick a guy, I mean, now this is besides, I mean, if we're going obvious, you got to do AM 34.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
I mean, that's an automatic, like he seems like, I think you got to go with guys like Jackie Hughes, over in New Jersey, Trevor Zegras, great choice. Like I think about guys like Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar. It's like, I don't know if we want to see those guys. You know, they're psychos.
I don't need Nate MacKinnon telling the entire world or all of the hockey world that he doesn't eat ice cream. It's like, fella, it's July 19th.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Have a little bit of ice cream.
We can't all be like that.
I mean, I like seeing those hardos, but if you're going to pick one hardo and that ultimately sells the game – you know, you have a guy like McDusty. You probably have to throw Nate Dogg MacKinnon in there. But, like, let's get some bigger names that maybe even have a little bit personality. But I don't know, like, if a guy like Willie Stiles would even really show his true colors.
I know.
Just thinking, you know, why would reserved. He take 11.8? Why would I?
I know. They're reserved in front of the camera. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, just guys who would be funny to see off, you know, just outside of the rink. Like, I'm thinking of a guy just because I can relate and I know him a little bit, not personally, but I've just been around him. Like, a guy like Nick Seeler. It'd be so funny to see Nick Seeler, this guy who just goes so hard in summer skates and just pissed off all the time. Like, get this guy in the car. I'm sure he's yelling at people in the streets, just getting road rage. Fucking guy, fucking kidding me? Fucking cut me off. You know, he's getting fucking red face, steam coming out of his ears. Like, I want some of that shit, you know, the real life shit.
Yeah, like the guy hitting the heavy bag in like the middle of July. Or you got like Spicy Tuna O'Brien last year who had his fighting coach on the sheet and they had a bag and he was hitting them like, you know, kidney shots.
Yeah,
like,
give me some of that. Stuff
I want to see, like rolling in with boxing gloves on to the ring. I love that. Why wouldn't you do that? You know, like some of these characters, even a guy that's a sneaky name, I think, and he's not that big of a household name and I don't think he'll ever be. But like, how about a guy like Seth Jarvis in Carolina? When they interviewed him after coming back from All-Star break, they're like, how was it? It was good. Worked out a bunch, stretched. And they're like, did you have any beers? He's like, no. just water. She's like, yeah, I'm sweating out all the beers today. You know, like a guy that's willing to show a little bit of personality and put himself out there. Like, how can we find those guys that are like maybe looking to make a little bit of dough off the ice that they can kind of parlay their personality into it? And ultimately, like, what are we scared of here? Like, boys, like as NHL players, you're in the National League. You're making seven figures. If you're locked up on a ticket, like, who gives a fuck what you show people? Why wouldn't you want to show that? I mean, I get people are different personalities, but it's like, dude, none of this matters. It really doesn't. Like,
no,
like, get out there and, like, where's our Brett Hull, like, personalities in today's game? So, I don't know. I just think that that'll be cool, but depending on how they film it, Ozzo, it might be a little stiff. Last little bit, Ozzo, I have on hockey. We got to throw it over. We had Buster Stapleton on a couple weeks ago talking about Russia, the motherland, the Continental Hockey League. So the team Avangard, however the fuck you pronounce it, Omsk, way out in Siberia, is playing in the second round right now. They go down 0-2. What do? They fired their coach after game two. Talk about just how Russian that is. That is so sick. Go down 0-2 and fire your coach going back home because, hey, we need a new voice. This guy got us to this point of the second round of the playoffs, but, hey, we need to shake things up. Like, how does that in anyone's head make fucking sense?
Who is making that call with a decision like that? I know it's Russia, so you maybe it's just because we played two bad games in a row. He's gone. But I mean, if that shit happens over here in the U.S., everyone's like, all right, he fucked someone's wife on management or owner. He banged the owner's girlfriend or something, or his daughter. You know, you're thinking something like that went on to make that call. But we're talking Russia here, so like it could be just. Boys looked flat in the past two games. That can't happen. You know, we need someone else.
Oh, that was like, you got us to the second round of playoffs, and now we're down 0-2. Does that not just scream full Richard panic? Like, you're coming to the rink the next day. I've been listening to this guy scream at me since we've been doing mountains in Russia since July 11th. And now at this point of the season, you decide to fire our coach? What are we talking about?
It's
we're just
insane.
Going back home for game three. What are we doing here? Oh, man.
Are we panicking? Oh. I mean, guys, they just won two games in a row. We can probably do that, right?
I mean, we're not even down 0-3. We don't even need a Kevin Millar-like speech with the Boston Red Sox heading into game four at Fenway saying, hey, just don't let us win tonight. You're only down 2-0. I mean, it's only the second round. What are we doing? So I just thought that was all time. That is the most Russian thing ever. So, Ozzo, that is our NHL talk of the town for this week, episode 29. My favorite part of the show, brother. We're going over to One Hitters with Ozzo. My first question for you, brother. Favorite white rapper of all time?
Oh, man. You got what do you got? Fat Joe?
Yeah, he's a little mix.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Ferta. You got, I mean, Vanilla Ice. You could even throw
Vanilla
him
Ice.
In that.
Lil Dicky.
Little Wrench. You
I
got
mean, there's
Mac,
only...
R.I.P. Mac Miller. You
Mac
got Sammy.
Mills.
Sammy Coast to Coast Adams.
Sammy Adams, Man in Person.
You got Shady. I mean, Eminem. It's tough to beat that. But
Yeah. I mean, you got to go Shady. You got to go Eminem. That guy's a legend. He puts it on for the white boys, you know. Thank you, Marshall Mathers, for doing all that you have for us light skinned folk out there. But yeah, I mean, you have to go Eminem. Now, Mac Miller, I think he could have, you know, if he went to got a little too crazy with the drugs and stuff, that's a little sore subject with some people who liked him. But he would have been unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I remember seeing him, Ozzo, back in 2011 at the Brown County Coliseum in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where the Green Bay Gamblers used to play before the Russian. Absolute shithole. And Mac Miller was his first tour ever. And he had, you know, Knock Knock, The Spins, a couple of those good tracks. And I remember seeing him live, and I was like, fuck me, is he good? And liked him too. He was probably like a three-trick pony at that time. Uh-huh. And just the bangers and, you know, everyone there, it was pretty close to sold out. I was like, man, this guy's a young legend. And then obviously, you know, you pour one out to him of what happened. But yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, it's tough to beat the boy Shady, you know, B Rabbit, straight out of 8 Mile. So that's a good pick. Going over to number two, Ozzo. Does Joel Quenneville coach again in the National Hockey League?
For sure. I think you have
What's he got to do to get there, though? What does he do? Does he just write a? Does he need like a 60 minutes like sit down with Gary Bruce Bettman where they make everything public of he apologizes this and that? And I don't even know how much he knew really about
That's what I'm saying.
Why is he canceled? Yeah.
That's my point. I mean, Mike Babcock came back and got another chance. I mean, obviously he fucked it up right away. But, I mean, you got to who knows what he knew? And who knows what, you know, Joel Quenneville at the time, you know, he's got, what was the guy's, you know, you got Kyle Beach in the video skating instructor. It's like, does Joel Quenneville even know what's going on there?
Two dragons.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, he doesn't know what's going on there. And that's why, like, people started to, I don't know if you remember the Sandusky days with Penn State.
Yep.
People started hopping on Joe Paterno for that whole ordeal. And it's like, I know that, you know, the head honcho gets the blame. He should know everything that's going on. That's just not the way it works, though. You don't know everything that's going on. You don't have time to know everything that's going on. I mean, and especially, you know, he might hear rumors. And I mean, some of those rumors he heard probably were like, are you fucking kidding me? Don't waste my time with that shit. That's not true.
Yeah.
Which maybe is his fault. I don't know. But he'll for sure be back, I think, if he wants to. I don't know if he wants to. If he wants to, for sure, though. I mean, why not give the guy another chance? He's a great coach. I don't think he had anything to do with what went on.
Right. Teams have inquired about hiring him, Ozzy, and Gary has said no to this point. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Teams
Gary shut it down.
Yeah. He's, you know, ever since his exit from Florida, he has been, you know, a hot commodity in terms of teams asking about him, obviously treading lightly with it, but just even getting him in for an interview, and he's still shutting it down. So I hope Q gets a chance again, especially, you know, from all the information I've collected, it seems like he should get another chance. Now we'll see if that happens. But I, even like a guy like Nikki, you know, playing for Q, he just said like the guy is just, he's unbelievable. You know, even as a rookie, you know,
you can just tell looking at him, you're in this like
15 minute practice.
He looks like a good coach. Yeah.
15 minute practices, days off. And his one line is like, nobody loves winning more than me, baby. Woo. Like he's just a beauty. So yeah, I hope he gets a chance. Ozzo, question number three. If you're picking one of these two teams, because it looks like the Tampa Bay Lightning will be one of the wild cards out of the Eastern Conference. If you're picking one of the three to make the playoffs, standing here with about 15 odd games left, you have the Washington Capitals, the New York Islanders, or the Detroit Red Wings, who are free falling like Tom Petty. If you're picking one of those teams to make the final wild card spot, who are you picking?
Great question. Man, I'm gonna stick with it because I think I've answered this before a little bit, who's going to make the wild card spot, but I'm going to stick with the Islanders. I know they started off slow. They've got 15 overtime losses, Jordo. So, you know, they only have 23 losses. They're just not good playing 3-on-3, haven't practiced it enough. I know when you're on one of those teams, your whole practice is like, let's fucking work on 3-on-3 so we win one of these. I just think when I look at Detroit, when I look at Washington, who just sold Kuznetsov, and I mean, Washington, they're not a playoff team to me. I've watched them. I saw their roster.
It's crazy, though. They keep
winning. It's nuts.
Their goal differential is negative 30, and they're in it right now.
I know. It's because Charlie Lindgren from Lakeville, he's a Minnesota boy, played at St. Cloud. I think he's allowed like 13 goals in the last 11 games. So they've got a goalie that's staying on his head. And I don't believe in the Detroit Red Wings. I'm sorry. I just don't believe in that team right now. Especially, I think Larkin's still out. So I think the Islanders will eventually get that spot. That's just my guess.
Yep, I think so too. I like it. Last question, Ozzo. Now, we just talked about a free pass to get just cocked, blacked out, do whatever you want in St. Paddy's Day. Speaking of another hall pass, do you get another free pass? So we're talking to people in corporate America. Your average 9-to-5er working for Morgan Stanley, working for Target, big corporations. Is March Madness a free pass to drink in the office? We're talking about, you know, sliding in an Irish coffee in the old Yeti. You know, just having one. You know, we're not talking early in the week for the play-in games, but we're talking Friday, rolling in, yeah. You know. Can you put a little Bailey's and a little Jameson in that coffee? And you got the iPad out. You're in the cubicle. You're watching a game. The boys are all hanging out, you know, with their Dockers mm-hmm. on and their button downs. Is that, you know, frowned upon? Is if the boss can smell a little whiskey on the breath? Or, I mean, the potato chips are out. We have the Gardettos. I mean, people are sharing little snacks. Someone, you know, Debbie over there across brought the nice mm-hmm. little, you know, cupcakes, and we got the 7-layer dip going, and the, you know, Tostitos are out. Is that something where, you know, I could sneak one in maybe?
I think for sure it is. I know why. I mean, let's get, for the people that don't know corporate America, and for the people who are in corporate America, they're going to know what I'm talking about. But corporate America, your supervisor, when he comes in on a Friday, maybe even a Thursday, he's got his quarter zip on. He's got his Butter Golf quarter zip on, and he's ready to leave the office at noon.
Yes.
And you're going to tell me, now you got to stay in there. You got to stay in the office till 4 because you're not an executive yet. You're not an advisor. You haven't gotten to that point. Now, don't get too far ahead of yourself. You still have to work. You still have to work your way to that point. Until you get that luxury, but you're not at that luxury right now. So you got to stay in that office, and there is no shame in bringing a little flask, putting a little whiskey in your Yeti while you're telling your coworkers, you're telling Karen and Joseph over there. Yes. Yeah. I'm just having my water in my Yeti, but you've probably got the double screen set up at your office, at your cubicle.
Of course.
And you've 100%
one for a spreadsheet, one for porn. Yep.
You 100% have one of the screens on March Madness. You have money on the games, and you've got the other side up with your email. You know, whenever you get a buzzed email, you get an email, you get buzzed, you answer to it. But if you don't get an email or a phone call, you're staring at that March Madness screen that you've got on the left side. Probably that's what I'd choose, the left side. I have the right side with my emails and everything. Yep. You're staring at that left screen watching March Madness. And yes, you do for sure have a little bit of Diet Coke and a little bit of whiskey or rum in that Yeti cup, because you know, after once work gets out, you're going to the bar with the boys to go check on your parlays. And that's what it is. I think it's for sure acceptable. March only comes around once every how often? You've just battled through January, February. You were miserable. The sun wasn't coming up. It was going down till it was going down at 5 p.m. It was coming up at 8 a.m. You were driving to work in the dark. You were driving home in the dark. You deserve a little bit of drinks, and you deserve to have some whiskey in that Yeti cup for sure when you're watching March Madness, especially the first couple of rounds, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tale as old as time. It goes back to semi-pro and Jackie Moon. There's nothing in the playbook that says you can't play drunk in the rule book there. There's nothing in the rule book that yeah. says you can't play drunk. So if you're half-cocked sitting at the office, especially Ozzy, just, I mean, what are we doing? Nobody's working at this time. You know, everyone's faking something. It's hilarious. Corporate, you got your brackets. How funny are like those corporate America buy-ins for a bracket? Okay, well, your first entry is $5. If you want another one, it's $7. Yeah. So you got 100, 200 people in this fucking pool, but you could win this thing, and you're only walking away with $400. It's like, fella, like, we're not looking to break the bank, but maybe $20 for a buy-in. Come on. You know, we want a little scratch if we win this thing.
Let's get some sweat on our palms here, Phyllis. Yeah, Phyllis won last year. She picked her teams all based off the color of their jersey.
Right. You know, she's having a great time. So, yeah, that is the captain speaking. Folks, show up drunk. Maybe you just have a few. Anyways, Ozzo, heading over to our last two segments of the pre-show. Again, brought to you by Butter Golf and Mini Movers. Brother man, sitting over here on Tuesday, who did you have for your Selly of the Week?
So, we've already kind of talked about it, but my Selly of the Week was Kuznetsov's Eagle Selly. And then I had a second one, Jordo, and Edwards last night, Tuesday, March 18th. Monday, March 18th, he absolutely jammed on a guy. It was the dunk of the year. He jammed on him, and there's no better selling in sports than when you jam on a guy and he ends up on the ground, he ends up on the wood, and he's just laying there, and you're standing over him, flexing your muscles, probably yelling, "You fucking bitch. You thought you could get in front of me and stop me from dunking this ball." And this is the picture, Jordo, of Ant Edwards over the guy he dunked over. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
No, and I love his game, man. He's a killer. You know, those Timber puppies, they might be up to something here in a few years because I think they're building their game. And that guy's a dog, Ozzo. I love his game. We're talking association a little bit here. I love his game. My Selly of the Week is actually going to stay on the 94 feet hard wood. I'm going to join you. I'm going to double up on the association. I don't know if you caught it, Ozzo, but it was breaking the internet. It went viral. It was earlier in the weekend, I believe. I don't know. I was on a little bit of a bender, so I don't know the exact date. It was either Saturday or Sunday. It was Friday. I couldn't tell you. I was listening to tunes all weekend. But Toronto Raptors shooting guard Grady Dick had a jersey swap with one of his longtime buddies who he had played AAU with, an Anthony Black of the Orlando Magic. And being a guy that loves jersey swaps, you know, you're at a party, you play a game of beer pong, maybe it's a best of seven, and a willing combatant, you just go toe-to-toe, you go chin-to-chin all night. And the mutual respect you have to have for a jersey swap to say, "Hey, you know what, fella, you can take my H&M pineapple button down and I'll take your Jason the Jet Terry jersey from the Dallas Mavericks and we'll swap it out. We'll get a picture." Anyways, these guys, after a game down in Orlando, also, I mean, they knew what they were doing. Grady Dick and Anthony Black. So you can imagine what the jersey swap was, folks. It was obviously stationed and the picture was taken Black Dick for the jersey swap. I mean, that's just all time. That's one of the best sellies I've ever seen. Black wrench, you get the pitcher, you get the swap. So I just thought that was my Selly of the Week over here. It doesn't get much better than that. Nail gun of the week for me, Ozzo, on a less laughter or less humorous note, if you will. I just had to bring it up. It just sucks when this happens, especially to a guy that passed away way too soon. Hockey player Chris Simon passed away at age 52, former Stanley Cup champion with the Colorado Avalanche back in 1996, 782 NHL games. He's a fighter. He fought over, I believe, 100 times in the league, one of the tougher players. He had received a 25-game suspension one time and I think maybe a 30-game out suspension, but just so sad when, you know, a lot of these fighters, they pass away too soon, Ozzo, and you just hope that, you know, guys learn and get the help they need and ultimately speak out, because it just sucks when you see a former hockey player, a tragedy like this happen. And so that was my nail gun of the week, because that guy, I mean, back in the day, just watching his highlights, he was a fucking nail gun. So, Ozzo, I hope you have something a little lighter for your gun of the week.
Oh, I've definitely got something a little lighter. And, yeah, I mean, shout out to the fighters out there. I know it kind of makes you, you know, these stories, Jordo, kind of make you like feel like, should there be fighting in hockey? Should there not? And, you know, whenever I get brought to this point and people are, they use that example of like, you know, this is what fighting does in hockey. From what I know from the most part, Jordo, these guys have some mental things going on before they even begin fighting in hockey. So, I think that's just kind of the culture they have a little bit, some of them. They deal some mental problems, but that's tough. But, yeah, I'll definitely lighten it up here, Jordo, and I've got two.
I like it.
I've got a two nail gun of the week special. The first one, I'll start it off light, is going to be Balto. Have you ever heard of Balto, Jordo?
The old dog. The Iditarod.
The old sled dog. Yep. Balto. I just saw a picture of him just come up, kind of, you know, giving him his stars and whatnot.
Okay.
But this is why I got to call out Balto. I mean, he trekked 53 miles. He's the only sled dog. He kind of made it 53-mile stretch through the Alaskan blizzard to deliver life-saving medicine to children. And what I wanted to bring up about this, Jordo, is this is Balto's actual fucking... That's him. I mean, he's in a museum. It's his actual body. So what I wanted to bring to light was... You know, like Balto's got his legit body, like obviously a taxidermist, you know, stuffed him and, you know, mounted him. Is this kind of like, should we start doing statues like this? Like, should we do like, should we hire a taxidermy to, you know, put up LeBron's statue when he passes? You know, so we still got his skin there and everything, like his whole body. Like, that's a little cooler than a statue, right? Like, that's unbelievable.
I agree. I mean, they're giving everyone statues these days, too. Dustin Brown's got a statue outside of
State. Yeah, I mean, like, how many statues are we going to end up with?
You know, like, who's next, right?
Yeah, like, everyone's got a statue. No one's got Balto's. I mean, he's fucking mounted. Like a goddamn troll. I mean, that is nuts.
I like it. I mean, fucking stuff my body someday if I, you know what I mean?
Fuck 100%. It. Why not?
Like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Put me on display. I mean, 100%. I was a nail gun. Why not? my second one is the Blue Moose in East Grand Forks bartender. He's my second nail gun of the week. Jordo, I'm sitting with John Simonson, Colton Sanderson here. We're getting some drinks pregame. It's St. Paddy's Day weekend. So I'm like, you know what? I better order an Irish coffee.
Oh,
why not? Fucking absolutely. Show, you know,
be rude not
you know,
to
show some respect to St. Paddy. Yep. And, I go, Hey, you guys, I'm looking through their cocktails, no Irish coffee on there. I'm like, hey, can you guys make an Irish coffee? And he's like, Irish coffee? Of course. Yeah, no doubt. I'm like, all right, I'll take one of those. He comes back with a big, big cup of coffee, black coffee and whiskey. That's all that's in the cup.
Oh,
that's it. That's it.
Straight just black. 87 unleaded and from Jameson.
I mean, I'm drinking fucking gasoline out of this cup. I have a couple sips and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I gotta ask for some cream or something. Like, this is insane. He thought this was an Irish coffee. I'm like, hey, buddy. Like, he comes back and he's like, hey, you guys need anything? And I'm like, yeah, you got any cream? He's like, oh, you want some cream, huh? And I'm like, yeah, can I get some cream with this thing? And he kind of walked away like laughing, and we were, you know, Dusky and John and I were just dying laughing. Like, this is the Forks Irish coffee, eh? Like, just fucking black coffee and whiskey. That's it.
That is a Forks.
So I had to show him. It's Forks.
I'm surprised he just didn't bring you just a bottle of Jameson, right? Just bring you like a couple of Folgers and just a bottle. Here you go, pal. You know, like, get the fuck out of here with your Irish coffee. Hey, have you ever tried to order like a, besides a spot like the Toasted Frog in town, have you ever tried to order like a, I guess Harry's now too, but I think it would be so funny if you try to order like an espresso martini at some places in Forks. They'd probably just
I thought about it at Blue Moose, and I'm like, yeah. I can't go espresso martini on them.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't like cold, so I was like, I don't really want an Irish, but it's like, I'm going to get an Irish if they can make it.
Speaking of Blue Moose, man, like we always used to rip there back in the day. And for the people that don't know it, it's a place in East Grand Forks, right along the Red River, just across from Grand Forks, North Dakota, downtown. And it's a legendary spot. I mean, they have, you know, the Bourbon Street pasta, the PBE burger, which is peanut butter and egg. Obviously, the wingies are good there. I mean, I've had the whole goddamn menu. The fish is sneaky good. Everything is, it's good average, spot. But it's good. It's a good spot. But do you remember back in the day, when Clark Saunders, who was a goalie at UND, left his car there for like 4 weeks straight? Because every time
we might have been longer. It might have been longer.
Every time we would go to Blue Moose after he had drove there, because the first night he went there, obviously he drove there, couldn't drive, too drunk. So, all right, you know, I'll pick it up next time or the next day. then, you know, 3 or 4 days later, we would go there. And I'm pretty sure this was after the season, and we would go there, you know, obviously get on the tees again because they had the twisted tees, and those iced Long Island iced tees hit pretty diffy. And, you know, you get drunk again to the point, Ozzy, where I think he might have checked into the Blue Moose. We might be exaggerating, but I think it was double digits. I think it was 10, at least 7.
That's not exaggerating, Jordo. I remember this, and I've told the story to so many people. I'm like, this guy
got his car.
Yeah. He went, and we went there. We were frequent visitors because we only went there to pick up his car.
Right. We would only go there to go pick up Dale's Jeep. Okay, boys, we're going to go over to Blue Moose tonight. Where do you want to eat? Well, let's go to Moose. Yeah, Dale, you in? Yeah, I got to go pick up my car. He gets so buckled, it would just stay there to the point where that car, I think, was there for 4 weeks. And I think we were probably going twice a week at least.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously the weekend's a write-off. But I want to say it was 6 to 8 times. And that is insane to the point where he never picked up his car. I think they were going to tow it. And that's the only reason why he had to go pick it up. Like, hey, like,
yeah,
we're about to tow this car. It's been here for over a month. You need to go pick it up. But Dale Saunders, for at least almost a month, would go to the Blue Moose, check in. And that's, like you said, Ozzy, that was the only reason why we were going there, is to go pick up Dale's car.
The only reason we go there. And I went there like almost every time with you guys. And we're like, yeah, we're just going to, where should we get dinner? Let's go to the Blue Moose so Dale can pick up his car, finally. And we go there every time. And, I mean, credit to Dale. I mean, a lot of everyone else, they would have had it out there the first time. Just fucking hop behind the driver's seat and fucking get it out of there. But Dale's like, I'm not driving this thing drunk. We went there so many times. And he's like, oh, holy fuck, I can't even drive it home.
Wait, didn't the one time he tried to start it after like 3 or 4 weeks and it didn't start?
And it didn't start.
He just had to get drunk again.
Yeah. He actually tried to go through with it and get it out of there. And it didn't start. He's like, oh, fuck, I got to get back in the restaurant.
He tried to bail on dinner. He's like, oh, boys, can't do it today. Got to drive home. He tried to go start his car. It didn't start. That is fucking unbelievable. I wish that picture of his car in that same spot out front on the east side of the Blue Moose is forever ingrained in my head.
Oh, like, yeah, forever.
Just that silver fucking old school Jeep. Oh, man, that is all time. But Ozzo, that place is unbelievable. Last little thing I wanted to mention to you, fella, was last night in Phoenix. Man, I thought there was the second coming of E.T., we were going to dinner. Mark and Kelly are down here. Shout out to Jakey Schmaltz's parents. So we were going over to a spot called the Global Ambassador. Coach Dar joined us. Abby, Nick's gal. Shout out to Alu. We went over there for dinner, and I went over to Nick's place before just to kind of go see him. I hadn't seen him in a few weeks just with them being on the road, me kind of doing my own thing. So stopped over at his place, and we were driving over to the restaurant, and I seen what I thought was like an alien spaceship to the point where I had never seen that shade of yellow. I haven't seen that shade of green. It lit up the whole sky, Ozzo. I was sitting there. We were all driving to the restaurant, and we were driving into this thing. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I mean, not even the People's Insider had word of what was coming into town. Is this going to be the last time I'm ever on this earth? Do I have to get drunk tonight because it's Monday and I'm coming off a 4-day bender just because I think the world is ending? What is going on? So we start loading up the tweets, seeing, and I was one of the first people in Phoenix as the People's Insider to tweet it out, like, what is going on? And I finally got word, articles came out later in the day, and it was Elon had launched Starlink SpaceX from California, and they were doing hot laps around Phoenix. So my long-winded question to you, Ozzo, after seeing this fucking machine, in our lifetime, are we going to be able to go on a rocket ship up to the moon, booze up there, have a couple stiff ones, and then come back down like it's a goddamn Uber? Like, is that what this is leading to? Like, are we going to be doing day trips to the moon just to go hang out? Oh, yeah, took a couple of mushrooms, heading to the moon. You know, is this something that we're going to be doing when we're 60, if we're fucking still kicking, hopefully?
I, you know, Jordo, I actually weirdly think about this fairly often. just because I listen to these crazy podcasts, and obviously because, you know, sometimes they eat edibles, and when you know you get a little high off THC, your mind starts like thinking about crazy shit, right? And yeah, I mean, I think for sure, no doubt, because, you know, how long have we been on this earth for? 30 years? Think about 30 years ago. What was going on? Like when we started out, you know, in the 90s, what was going on in the 90s? And picture what's going on now. It's like, it's insane how much, how far we've come, how fast we're evolving. I just think, you know, with the AI and especially, I think, you know, humans can only get so far. Now we've got this computer technology, AI, artificial intelligence helping us out. They're a lot smarter than humans. AI, I mean, if we use it right, it might kill us. It's going to figure out a way for us to get to the moon and just, you know, have a good time in space or whatever. There might be, you know, there might be a fucking wet deck up in space.
Imagine, you know, there was a orbiting, wet deck on the orbiting, moon.
I mean, orbiting around, like, you know, I mean, it's going to happen, I think, unless, you know, Earth decides to wipe us out.
Right.
But yeah, dude, I mean, I think for sure. Imagine
orbiting the moon on the wet deck. I mean, what? Like, that would be so filth. You're sitting there on the deck. You're just, your chin is just spinning around the fucking Jackie Moon, and you're
there's
having
North America.
There's North America, and as you're drinking your Miami Vice triple, and you're ordering an Irish, and someone's got to like throw it to you, but it's somehow like you, I don't even know how that would work. Like, are you just getting, like, at that point you might be just getting an IV of Irish coffee because you can't really drink it. You just got a little pack. I don't know. I just for a split second watching what that rocket looked like, I was like, bro, like, what the hell is going on? I mean, I drive a 96 Bronco, Ozzo. You know, I drive the OJ Special, and now I'm seeing a goddamn rocket ship. I'm in stick shift while this guy is driving a rocket ship around me, and he could probably fucking make out my two-tone Malone Bronco as I'm cruising over to the Global Ambassador. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all in for a wet deck up top, though. I mean, sign me the fuck
100%.
Up.
Oh, I mean, let's get these smart people and the scientists to figure out a way that we can kind of live longer than what we're living right now.
Yeah, right.
And get me up to the fucking wet deck on the moon. Right.
I mean, as the late Ricky Bobby once said, with advances in motor science and my high financial income, it's not crazy to think that I could live to be 245, 300, you know? No, I think that's good, brother. But as always with you, Cap, tape to tape on the grapes tonight, you were. That was the pre-show, low and slow, crispy rice, brother.